This is Audible.
Caiaphas Cain, The Traitor's Hand. Written by Sandy Mitchell and read by Stephen Perring.
Emma Gregory.
Penelope Rawlins.
And Andrew James Spooner.
Editorial note. To my great surprise, not to mention personal satisfaction, the first two volumes of material from the Cain Archive, which I have prepared for circulation among those of my fellow inquisitors who may care to peruse them, have been quite widely read. Although it must be said that many of my colleagues appear to regard them as light entertainment, rather than the more serious food for thought I originally intended, finding it hard to believe that an imperial commissar could fall so far short of the ideals he was meant to embody. Given his public reputation, I find this incredulity easy to understand, but thanks to our personal association, I can assure my readers that he was indeed very much as he depicts himself in these memoirs. I would point out, though, that perhaps as a result of his own awareness of these shortcomings, he does have a tendency to judge himself a little more harshly than he might actually deserve. Hitherto, I've concentrated my efforts on some of Cain's encounters with alien enemies of the Imperium, although in the course of his long career he crossed swords with all manner of warp-spawned monstrosities as well, confounding the dark designs of the ruinous powers and their mortal minions on numerous occasions. It seemed fitting, therefore, especially given the interest in the previous volumes from inquisitors of ordos other than my own, to select one such incident to prepare for wider dissemination. I was aided in this decision by the fact that it follows on chronologically from the previous two extracts. Although Cain's tendency to record his memoirs piecemeal as different anecdotes occurred to him means that the original material forms a somewhat extended digression. This happened in his account of the famous incident during the 13th Black Crusade, when he was dragged out of retirement to defend an entire world with little more than a handful of his Schola Progenium cadets. That will have to wait for a subsequent volume, of course. In the meantime, I believe I have successfully filleted the material relevant to the Adumbria campaign and present it here as a reasonably coherent narrative in its own right. Like the earlier extracts, these events took place during Cain's service with the 597th Valhallan, and cover the fledgling regiment's first encounter with the forces of Chaos. A particular point of interest is Cain's description of the ordinary trooper's reaction to the great enemy and the form its machinations took, which I hope will sound a much-needed note of caution to those of my readers who might fall prey to the pernicious tenets of radicalism. Since, as usual, Cain is infuriatingly vague about most things which don't affect him personally, I have continued to insert extracts from other sources where necessary in order to present a more rounded account of events on Adumbria and in the system surrounding it. Unfortunately, as before, some of these are the logorrheic meanderings of Jennet Sulla, for which I can only apologize in advance. Were any other alternatives available, you can be sure I would have used them. In accordance with the previous volumes, I have broken Cain's largely unstructured narrative into chapters for ease of reading, and, once again, I have been unable to resist prefacing them with a selection from the collection of quotations he maintained for the instruction and amusement of his Schola students. Other than this, I have confined my interpolations to the occasional footnote, leaving Cain to tell his story in his own inimitable manner. Amberley Vale, Ordo Xenos,